August 8th, 2020. Good evening and welcome to the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club TipsNet. This is Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm located in Groton, Connecticut. I will be your net control station for this evening. Membership in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club is not necessary for participation. All licensed radio amateurs are welcome to check into the net. Those that do not wish to check in are certainly welcome to listen. This net operates on the 147.060 MHz repeater with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. If needed, the secondary is 146.67, also with a PL tone of 156.7 Hz. This net is held each Wednesday evening starting at 7 p.m. local time with various net controllers on a rotating basis. This net is intended to provide an informal operating environment for new operators as well as for experienced amateurs. The purpose of the net is to, number one, provide a venue for presenting questions and obtaining answers and advice related to amateur radio, and number two, also to promote good fellowship among amateur radio operators and to encourage the use of good operating procedures. Let me reset the repeater. The TipsNet is a directed open net, and that means we call for a round of check-ins, and when we have everyone checked in, we'll go down through the list for comments and questions. During the check-in, please state if you have any questions for the net. We'll ask for your questions after everyone has checked in. There are three sections of the TipsNet. First, the open net with the rounds of questions and comments as just described. Second is a section for announcements about upcoming events and items of interest. And third, there's an opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Okay, unless otherwise directed, all communications should be directed to the net control station. When checking into the net, please say, "This is," and then release. And listen to make sure that you didn't double with somebody else who called at the same time. Once you're sure that no one has, then key the mic and slowly give your call sign and give it phonetically, like mine, Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, and your name and location, and if you have a question or a comment. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. My name is Tim, and I'm in Groton, and I'm your net control station for this evening. We'll start taking check-ins now. Please come with your call sign slowly.
This is Kilo 1, Cutic Mike November, Jerry in Preston. No questions.
Good evening. Here is Kilo Alpha 6, Papa Delta Golf. My name is Kevin. I'm located in Norwich. No questions. I've been trying to scribble some notes in case things get slow, but no specific questions tonight.
This is Kilo 1, Delta Charlie Tango. Dave in Preston. No questions at this time.
Here is Whiskey 1, Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, Chuck in Groton. No questions. Good evening. This is Kilo Charlie 1, November Oscar Lima, Mike in Old Saybrook.
Kilo Charlie 1, November Bravo Yankee. Jeremy in Oakdale, no questions.
Okay, so far we have Jerry, K1JMN, Kevin, KA6PDG, Dave, K1DCT, Chuck, W1FJW, Mike, KC1NOL, and Jeremy, KC1NBY. Any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, very good. Well, this is the first Wednesday of the month, and we always try and have a theme for the first Monday of the month. Doesn't mean that we always make it, but we do try and do that. And as was mentioned, I think last TIPSnet, one of the things we wanted to talk about was station identification. What do the rules actually say? What's the common courtesy way of doing it? So what we'll do is we'll go down for a quick round of comments before we really get into it. But I did want to give everybody a chance to, even though nobody said they had any questions, if they have any news they want to share, I'd like to get through that first before we get into the meat of it. And if we get into other topics and other questions, we can always save this for another day. So we'll start with Jerry, K1JMN. I believe you're still waiting for the power company to do something to those trees on your wires. How are you making out? And any comments for the first round of the TIPSnet? This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, K1JMN. Good evening, Tim, and everyone else. Those trees are still leaning on the power lines, and the fuse is still turned off on those lines. So no power here except for my generator and my deep cycle battery. And thank goodness for that. And just trying to stay cool, calm, and collected at minimum use of power and electricity. So I do cycle the generator on and off. So far, so good for now. This is the K1JMN, back to net.
Okay, thank you, Jerry. I'm glad you have the generator and had the foresight to be prepared for all of that. Next, we'll move on to Kevin, KA6PDG. And how did you fare, and anything you want to bring to the net for the first round of the TIPSnet? This is KC1TWR.
Thank you, Nat. KA6PDG, Kevin at Norwich. I fared well, other than the power flickering a little bit. That was about the only problem here. I would say we probably had wind gusts up around 55 or 60 for a while, so it was good that there were no tree problems. We certainly remember when that wasn't the case about 3 years ago. Welcome to the net to Mike, KC1NOL, who I had the pleasure of talking to earlier in the day. And Mike has what I call a good luck call sign. He has a good luck call sign, and I'll let Mike, if he wants to, explain why he thinks I'm saying that. We talked about it earlier. And a quick story, I'll make it super quick. Sometimes things don't turn out the way you expected. Sometimes they turn out better than you expected. I was having a problem yesterday, and I got on FaceTime with a ham friend of mine who was able to that way look at the meters on my rig and on my tuner. My radio wasn't putting out. I wasn't getting out. Nobody was hearing me. This, of course, was the HF rig. Well, at first, we thought the finals were gone, and I'm like, oh my God, you don't want your finals going on a good HF rig, because it was putting out it was 0.7 watts on 40 meters. I think it was 4 watts on 75 meters and 24 watts on 20 meters. Interestingly, that it was not consistent. Upon further testing and switching some coax around, the conclusion seems to be that something has gone wrong with my diplexer. And that's unusual, because diplexers don't have moving parts, and things don't usually go wrong with them. So we're going to do some ABA testing and double check, but it appeared all the coax cables were connected very firmly. And I have, after all, alas, an ICOM 7200 that works, no blown finals. So I was happy. KA6PDG back to net.
Very good troubleshooting there, Kevin, and I'm happy that it worked out for you. Certainly better to replace a duplexer than it is to replace the finals on an HF rig, absolutely. Okay, next we'll move on to Dave, K1DCT, see how you're making out and anything you'd like to bring to the first round of the tips net. This is KC1TWR.
Oh, good evening to all. This is K1DCT. Just hanging out here in the radio cave. Unfortunately, made it through the storm that no one can pronounce. And hopefully they'll go back to using regular names that people know. I do have power. It was close a couple times. Things got pretty dark a couple times. Voltage went right down to nothing, and then it came back. So I am one of the few fortunate ones out here in Preston. And offered up a few things on Wastebook, as I like to call it, for people that don't have, I've got a freezer here if people want to move their food, or I even had a generator that I was willing to loan out, with a promise of, firstborn or something. But no takers. Just trying to, people had questions on Wastebook, and I tried to help them with different things. People couldn't start their generators and so forth, so offered what little expertise I have and all that tinkering kind of stuff that I like to do. So that's been the day. It's picked up a lot of sticks and there's more cleanup to follow. K1DCT back to net.
Okay, very good, Dave. Glad things worked out pretty well for you where you're located. And that you only had a couple of brownouts, as it were, so that's good. Okay, we'll move on to Chuck, W1FJW. How did you fare, and anything you'd like to bring to the table for the first round of the tips net? This is KC1TWR.
Well, we fared very well. Other than a ton of sticks and leaves in the yard, it all went pretty well. No major failures. I don't think we even had any substantial power blinks. So I'd say we did very well. No major trees or anything down, so I'd say we did good. And I think we're all set. Back to net. W1FJW.
Very good, Chuck. Of course, you and I live very close to each other in my condo complex. The only damage we had was about a 12 or 14 foot tall, very old shrub bush tree type of thing that was probably the time for it to go anyway, but it went down right in the middle of the grass. Didn't touch any buildings or anything else, so we looked out pretty well there ourselves. Okay, next we're going to move on to Mike, KC1NOL. Welcome to the Tips Net. As we said, we meet here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And as I'll say in the closing statement, there is Kevin K6PDG also records these nets for people to review if they missed something or if they missed the net. And that's at am1700.org/tipsnet. But we'll repeat that later. Okay, so Mike, how are you doing? How did you fare? Any questions you may have for us? Go ahead. This is KC1TWR in the tipsnet.
Yes, I fared pretty well during the storm. The power flickered a couple of times, But that's really it. Talked to my neighbor this afternoon, and another street over in our neighborhood, they did lose power because a tree did come down onto the power line. They take it all the way down and kind of hanging over the road, but you know, a quarter mile away, they don't have power. And then down the road, one of the main intersections, the police are out there all day because there's no power going to that intersection, and it's a pretty major intersection. Getting back to Kevin's comment about my call sign, I took my online exam Monday at about 6:30 p.m., and I got my call sign yesterday at around 4:30 p.m., right before the first Aries met at 5 p.m., I think. So I got my call sign during the middle of a tropical storm. Yeah, my radio just said I was standing too long. So yeah, I made out pretty well. That's about it. KC1NLO, back to net.
Well, glad to have you on board there, Mike. And yes, that's something quite something for the memory books. About when you got your call sign, and you got it very fast. Most people have to wait up to a week. So very happy you were able to get it that quickly, and that's not a bad call sign. Okay, we'll move on now to Jeremy, KC1NBY. How did you fare? Do you have anything you'd like to bring to the first round of TipsNet? This is KC1TWR. Just FYI, we did hear that you are portable, that you are bidding 73. You're just going to listen for the rest of the net. And everything you said before that was lost. You were hitting the repeater, so you were tripping the repeater, but nothing was coming through. So enjoy sitting and listening. As anybody else that's out there that's listening to TipsNet, if you'd like to join the TipsNet, now's your opportunity. Please go ahead and come with your call sign. Okay, I think there may have been a station out there trying to check in. If so, please try again now. Okay, welcome aboard there, Steve. And we have a topic for this evening, which is going to be station identification. But we hadn't got into that yet. We were just doing a round, and I'm going to give you immediate service before we go to the top of the list, and we talk about station identification. Anything you'd like to bring to the first round of the TipsNet this evening? This is KC1TWR.
MK1V. Steve here in Coventry. I didn't actually fare all that well yesterday. I'm actually on my backup radio and my backup antenna, which is on my surviving tower, but most of the upper stuff on my tower was dismantled by the trees that were just ripped everywhere. It's quite amazing what the damage it did, but I was wise enough when I did my installation to put a secondary antenna that's a little more protected, and this radio here, which is a little more set up, and I apologize for the generator humming in the background. Other than that, we are all safe and sound. I just got back from my mother's from getting her set up with my other generator from my RV. I was able to pull that out and get her going in East Hartford, which is pretty rare for power to be out that long, but she still is. And other than that, we're doing fine. We got everything going on here. Just my doublet is just annihilated. I have a secondary, of course, HF antenna that works good enough, but that's on the tower. That one survived. But my beautiful doublet that was all ladder line and just amazing antenna is gone. So I do have one little question that if we run out of stuff, but nothing important at all. And back to Matt and K1V.
Okay, well, I'm glad things aren't too bad for you, although it does sound like your antennas definitely suffered quite a bit. I saw in the ECARA email that a couple of people up there also had their antennas dismantled by the wind and trees and so forth. Sorry to hear that your mother's still without power, but I'm glad you did have the generator, that you were able to help her out. And hopefully power will be restored to everyone sooner than later, although I suspect it'll take a few days. Okay, well, the TIPSNet is for questions, so I would actually like to hear your question. So go ahead, Steve, give us your question.
NK1V, thanks, Tim. Last night, well, I was immediately without power, and then I was obviously without internet, and then I immediately was, something happened to the local Verizon tower. I was without phone and no communications other than, of course, one, this repeater, and also the PBRA has an extremely robust system. As far as ham radio communications and emergencies, everything was intact, and I was very impressed with that. But casual communications, i.e. Emails, was something that came back to my mind, and I've messed with this a couple times with the Winlink, and I was just curious of anybody who uses it, and is it an actual, I'll eventually figure out how to get everything off. So I did set it up one time and never really went far with it, but I think my current radio and stuff is capable of doing both VHF and HF type of communications with that. And just if anybody uses it and has any success, I don't really need the details on how to set up, just if anybody thinks it's really a worthy thing to dig into. Winlink.net,
NK1V. Well, that's a very good question, Steve. I can give a partial answer to that, then we'll go through the list and see what other people have to say. I have used Winlink. As a matter of fact, the Connecticut Aries group, every on the first Wednesday of the month, which happens to be today, also does a Winlink test, where people will send in a ICS, ICS-213 form with certain information to one central location, and that just is a monthly test to make sure everybody's Winlink is working and so forth. It's an excellent way to send information that, while it can still be decoded and read, for the most part it's not verbal, or and it's not CW, so it makes it a lot harder if you're trying to send some quasi-sensitive information, people's names, things of that nature. It's also very good when you need to send quite a bit of information. You need to make sure it's accurate, whether it's prescription names or something of that nature. It's a good form of communication. Jeremy, KC1NBY, just sent me a picture yesterday or the day before where he actually has a laptop out in his truck, where he set it up with the laptop, with his radio, and he was able to send and receive Winlink from his truck. So it's definitely something that should be in not everybody's go box, but an optional element, shall we say. Okay, let me reset the repeater. Okay, we'll go back to the top of the list and go down through the list and see what people think about what their experiences with WinLink and any comments they may have with that. I should mention a couple of quick things about WinLink. Unlike Outlook and Gmail and all the rest of it, there is no central server that will keep your email, so wherever you log in from, you'll see it. Whatever computer you're on, when you check your mail, you download it or send, that computer has the only copies, meaning that if you then fire up WinLink on your laptop, you will not be able to see those messages you already downloaded someplace else. So one of the recommendations they made is to actually run WinLink off of a USB drive. That way it's always with you and always has a record of all the important emails you want to hang on to. Okay, Jerry, K1JMN, have you had any experience with WinLink, or does it sound like something you might find of interest? This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, K1JMN. Yes, indeed, I am curious about WinLink. I have set up my radio with my ICOM 5100 with Bluetooth in hopes of getting it ready to go to work with a tablet and do some connections to it that way and send some test emails that way. I think it's an excellent form of communication, and I really do want to try that. Let me reset. I just got to get my head wrapped around it as to exactly what I want to do and how I want to do it. Not to mention, I just want to get my head cleared of some other stuff that I got to take care of as well. So, one task at a time is the way I do it. So, it will be done sooner or later. K1 Jammin, back to net.
Okay, very good, Jerry. You'll have to let us know how you make out with that. And Steve, just before I forget, this repeater, the 06 repeater, actually was down for a while last night. We had to switch the Aries and WeatherNet check-ins over to the Groton repeater. It's very uncharacteristic, because this 06 repeater is usually pretty well rock solid. So, you know, I suspect that whatever it wasn't serious, but it was off the air for a little bit. Norwich also seems to be off the air, but we'll see what happens there. I know they're having problems with their batteries, and they're talking about replacing them. Okay, let's move on to Kevin, KA6PDG, and see what his thoughts are on WinLink. This is KC1TWR.
All right, thank you. And Jerry, I hope that you're... day was successful today. I know you had a number of things that you had to get taken care of. Well, I don't have any first-hand experience with WinLink. My closest, I haven't used it myself. My closest association with WinLink, of course, is as our club president of the Kilowatt Club and Parks on the Air, getting yourself spotted and that kind of thing, as we talked about last week. With Steve's very, very excellent presentation. And if you missed last week's TipsNet, by all means go to the website. Tim will give it at the end of the net, or one of us will remember to, and download or listen to last week's net. Very nice discussion of Parks on the Air. So, but as I sit here thinking and listening to Jerry, who kind of wants to identify what he might want to do with WinLink, that's probably a real good discussion about how it would be used in emergencies or in cases where there's a high volume of traffic of some kind. Let me reset. And I'm almost thinking it might be interesting to, just a thought here, put off the discussion about station identification and see if people have observations about yesterday's amateur radio communications and what they learned and that kind of thing. But and I think of that because with WinLink, I wonder if it could be used for when you're handing a net off, like an Aries net or whatever, to another net control. For some reason, you might be unexpectedly handing the net off to another net control, and there's call signs and other information that needs to go to that new net control. And there's a few ways of making that happen. But with WinLink, you could just take your log or your notes from the net and email them to the net control that's relieving you, and that might save time on the air. So I was thinking of that as a potential use for WinLink during emergencies, maybe even during public service events. KA6PDG back to net control.
Very good comments there, Kevin. And just to fill in other people with a little bit more knowledge about the WinLink and so forth, it was also used during the Red Cross and Ares simulated emergency test back in, I think it was April, we did that. And we have another one coming up in November. It's a nationwide test, and part of that did involve WinLink. In WinLink, you can both freehand, if you will, just type up a message like you do in Gmail and Outlook and Yahoo and so forth. And it also has templates for different forms. Some of them are ICS templates, some of them are Red Cross templates, some are specific to a particular state. And, for instance, Red Cross has templates for resource request or template for a shelter report. Here in Connecticut, our shelters are not as big, even though they're regional, they're not as big as the ones they have, for instance, in Texas. So here we usually do everything verbally, but I'm sure in Texas it would work a lot better if they were using WinLink. But that's a great idea there, Kevin, about passing from one net control to another, as I had to do to Tom. And, you know, it came at him as a surprise, unfortunately, because my reception was not very well, and I was able to convey to him who had checked in that I knew of. But that's a good idea. And maybe that is worth more discussion. But in the meantime, let's move on to Dave, K1DCT, and see if he has any experience with WinLink or any thoughts on the subject. This is KC1TWR.
Well, good evening again to all. This is K1DCT. I have zero experience with WinLink, although I'm looking at it right now on the interweb. And so I'm not going to delay anything by babbling on. I will turn back and let someone that maybe knows something about this say something. K1DCT, back to net.
Okay, thanks, Dave. And yeah, you may find it of some interest. I should mention that the towers that have the digipeaters or what have you that the WinLink uses are pretty hardened, so they last pretty well. For instance, the DMR towers that are in Connecticut were up and fully operational during the entire storm. So that was good. Okay, let's move on to Chuck. And I don't know if you've had experience with WinLink. This is KC1TWR.
No, I have had no experience with WinLink. Never had need for it, and even though it has appeared a couple times on my to-do list, it never did get installed. So I am ignorant of its operation. On another subject, Kevin has duplexer problems. It might be the new solder, lead-free solder, may have put some bad solder joints in there. So that's something that might want to be looked at. Beyond that, I don't have any comments. Back to net, W1FJW.
Thank you, Chuck. And I know you've seen it once or twice because we have a setup for WinLink down at the what's passing for the EOC at the city municipal building in the city of Groton, where we have an Aries station, which we haven't been to in a while because of the separation. So anyhow, and good advice for Kevin there. That's good. Okay, now we'll move on to Mike and see if he's ever heard of Windlink or if it's something he thinks he might want to look into. KC1NOL, this is KC1TWR.
Yes, I have heard of Windlink. I actually just downloaded the program while I was listening to everybody. So I'm going to try to see if I can get that working at some point, because I think being able to communicate in different ways without the internet or any type of communication can be very important, and to me it just seems desirable instead of being cut off from the rest of the world if you know, the phone, the cell net, and the internet all go down, you're stuck. So even at least now being able to talk on ham to a repeater to me is really cool. I guess one question I would have is when the Salem repeater went down and you guys switched to Groton, I could barely hear you guys until you upped your power, and I know you could barely hear me from Old Saybrook. I'm just on an HT, at 8 watts with a base antenna. I could use any advice on being able to actually talk to the repeater in Groton from Old Saybrook. Back to that.
Okay, very good. My advice, and I'm sure other people will chime in, would be A, get the antenna either higher or sometimes moving it 3 feet this way or that way. Sometimes it's just something in the way. Secondly, if you can get a mobile radio, which can do better than the 8 watts that you have, that's helpful. But if you have a hard time hearing, that's different. That means, right now I think it's like somebody would put on a car. That works okay. You may want to try a J-pole or something that has a little bit more dB gain to it. So but we'll see what other people think. And we'll start that with Jeremy, my Windlink buddy there, KC1NBY. What are your thoughts about Windlink? This is KC1TWR. That he was on HT and was just going to be listening for the rest of the session here. So we'll jump over to him and we'll go to Steve. And have you had any experience with this Windlink thing? I think you're the one who started it, or somebody did. Anyhow, NK1B, this is KC1TWR.
NK1B. Yes, I did start a question, and very good feedback. I have one thing, because what my situation was, I was not having any trouble whatsoever getting hold of hams, and I certainly have no plenty of hams that could relay an emergency message for me. I was also curious if I could just send like an email to the regular email address. That was kind of I probably didn't really mention that, because there was some family connection stuff that I just needed kind of coordinating answers for, if that's possible. And on the other gentleman's question about the repeater difference and stuff, and you were mentioning J-pole, I don't really use them that often, but that is my, the Aero style, the aluminum one, is what I'm talking on right now, and it's just a robust, bulletproof, relatively good gain antenna, and it is, seems to always be my backup antenna, which will be for probably the next month or so until I get back up there. So, and height is good because you don't have to worry about, as long as you got your coax all set up good and everything like that, you can put it on any kind of pole and get it as high as you want, and it does, height, elevation doesn't make a big difference because with that, because I'm relatively high, and I was down on the street when I got home. I was out this afternoon, and I could barely get this repeater, and now I get it fairly well just by switching to a J-pole at, maybe 100 feet higher. So back to that, and K1B.
Okay, very good. And just for clarification, could you describe or tell us a little bit about the aero antenna, if you would?
Yeah, it's just the base aero is sells a couple different heavy duty aluminum, solid aluminum beams, and they sell like ground planes. They're very rugged. They're good for portable use and stuff. They're which I probably will be going with instead of not at my $200 beautiful 11 element beam is nothing but a disaster at swinging in the wind. I'll probably go with something much more, I will sacrifice some gain to get a little more durability. And the J-Pole is I've made my own off of stuff off the internet based on their design 100% and their numbers. And actually they're very generous about that. They actually supply that on their website, the dimensions and stuff. And it's a piece of aluminum angle iron, and you use the standard CV style mount for the main element, and then there's two parasitic ground elements, one's I guess for the 440 area and one's for the 2 meter, and you just tune them, you know, like you would any other antenna. They're a little bit tricky with SWR, but I've never had that problem. I usually put, sometimes I'll put an ugly ballon on them, but this one currently I have nothing and it works great. And this one is actually tuned for MERS, the multi-use radio, because that's what I was originally installed it for. But I'm getting perfect, really good SWR on the 2 meter band, so I'm running it. Back to that, and QNB.
Okay, thanks, Steve, for the explanation. That's answered some questions that are rattling around in the back of my mind. To answer your questions about WinLink, yes, WinLink keeps improving. They keep making changes to it. And currently, from my WinLink address, I can actually send an email to a Gmail or Hotmail or Yahoo account, and I can also receive replies. And I should mention that while messages aren't stored on a server on a long-term basis, if I send a message right now and you're not on WinLink, and you log into WinLink, let's say tomorrow, you would then get the message. And so it would go from me to whatever intermediate server is in between, and then when you download it, it comes off the server, never to be seen on the server again. So yes, you can send and receive to regular email addresses, but you not all you have to have a WinLink address in order to send from it or to receive. So if I was to send it to you at winlink.org, it wouldn't get there because you haven't set up your WinLink account yet, if you will. Okay, I'm going to try one more time with Jeremy, just in case he wants to chime in about WinLink, and because we're getting close to where we have to go into the second section of the net. Jeremy, KC1MBY, if you're out there, any comments about WinLink? This is KC1TWR. Okay, nothing hurts, but I wanted to at least give him a shot at it. Okay, I'm going to save all that stuff about station identification until next week, and I do like Kevin's thought about also tying it into how stations were being identified and so forth during the storm yesterday, and how things went there. But I think we've reached the end of the first section. So before we go on to the second section, I'd like to do one last call. First, we'll do a call out for check-ins, then we'll do a call for any last comments for the first section. So anybody that would like to join the TIPSnet, please come now.
There it is. Whiskey 1, Julia, Oscar Papa, John, City of Grunt.
Here is. Whiskey 1, Romeo Papa Queen, Bob in Oakdale.
recognizes John, W1JOP, and Bob, W1RPQ. Any further check-ins, please call now.
This is K1JMN with additional comment.
Okay, Jerry, we'll get to you, and I'll ask for any other additional comments after we get through John and Bob. John and Bob, we're going to give you instant service because we are getting close to the end of the first section. We started off asking everybody how they made out with the storm, anything they want to bring to the table, any questions, and then we got into a discussion about Windlink and its uses and so forth. So, first we're going to ask those same questions to John. Any experience with Windlink, and how did you make out during the storm? W1JOP, KC1TWR.
Well, I'll be honest, I have very little to zero experience with Windlink. I mean, I've looked at it a few times on the internet and whatever. That was a while ago, so I'm sure things have changed with it. And I was at work outside all day in the storm, so I had a front row seat. A little unnerving at times, but it wasn't bad. At least we didn't get much rain. If we go in GOP back far out, that would have made wind-driven rain a lot. It's a lot worse to work in than just wind. Anyway, back to Ned. This is W1GOP.
Thank you, John, and well, we need the rain. I'm sure you were happy that you weren't getting pelted with rain in addition to all that wind. Okay, Bob, same questions to you. How did you make out with the storm, and what are your thoughts about Windlink? This is KC1TWR.
Good evening. This is W1RPQ. As far as the storm goes, we're still without power, phone, and internet. So radio's working, and we're keeping up with that, and glad that it's much cooler outside right now. Windlink. Well, Windlink's primary use is a maritime email service. So ships can send and receive email back and forth, so they use it in a packet radio setup, which is primarily what it's designed for. If you're using Windlink just over the internet, it comes with all those prefabricated forms, which makes it easier, but you're gonna, if you lose internet, you've lost your Windlink capability unless you have a radio set up for it. I do a lot of 2-meter packet with Jeremy. We send Windlink messages back and forth, and I send quite a few to Tim and some other folks as well. But to do a 2-meter packet Windlink, you're going to have a modem of some sort. I have a little MobileLink TNC. Let me reset. I have a little MobileLink TNC modem, which is a nice little battery-operated one that probably goes for about $100, but it's a lot less inexpensive than the standard modems that you used to have to buy to do this. But I like the ability to be able to do that over 2 meters. There are specific stations that you have to set up your communications with, but they'll receive it and they handle the handoff for you. As far as Kevin's usage, if you're running a net and you're going to hand it off, if you're going to use Windlink on internet, it's just like sending a Gmail. If you're going to use Windlink over 2 meters, you're going to have a dual band radio, or like mine, it's got, you can do either frequency on either side of it, so that you can send a Windlink message on one side and keep talking on the other. It does have a lot of possibilities in emergencies to when services go down. I think I sent a email to Tim this morning because all of my services are down. So I think it's fun. They're kind of new to the Ares environment, and like Tim said, every time we go to do a drill, they keep changing all the forms, so you have to download new things all the time. But I think they're going to catch up to it. That'll be it for this round. This is W1RPQ. Back to Net.
thank you, Bob. Yeah, some radios have TNCs built in, like the Kenwood D710. It's also a dual bander. It can do APRS and all that, but that's what I use. That's what we have down at the EOC. That's what's also used in the MCU, the Aries trailer that's kept in East Lyme for emergency purposes, communications. And something I know Jeremy KC1NBY was looking into was another form of messaging, which is VARA, V-A-R-A. So Winlink is not the only type of messaging out there. And just to further clarify, while Winlink, for the most part, is being used on land on 2 meters, you can also do it over HF. So there's also that possibility. Okay, we've reached the end of the list here again, so now I'm going to ask for anybody that would like to make additional comments. I already have Jerry's name on the list. Anybody else that would like to make additional comments at this point before we go into the second section, please call now.
KA6 PDG.
NK1B.
Okay, very good. We'll take you three in order. We'll start off with Jerry, K1JMN, KC1TWR. Please proceed with your comment.
Good evening. Tim, K1JMN. Yeah, my further comment was, I lost internet access as well because of the cable company using their power. So I have no access to the internet, and this is sounds like an excellent alternative to when you have no access to the internet and email or any sort of communications other than the radio waves. So I'm pleased to hear this, and I'm definitely going to be looking into this. And sorry to hear about Bob losing his internet as well, so now I know I'm not the only one losing the internet because of this fiasco. All right, that's it for me. K1JMN, back to Matt. Thank you.
Okay, yep, misery loves company, absolutely. And I know there's two other amateur radio operators down in Waterford and East Lyme that also last night were also without power, and in areas that it might take a little while for them to get power back. One of them I know has a generator. I'm not sure about the other one, and I unfortunately don't have his phone number. Okay, let's move on to Kevin, K6PDG. Please proceed with your comment.
Yeah, just real quick, listening to Bob's remarks, it almost seems like trying to use Winlink on 2 meters might be an unnecessary redundancy or whatever, probably not the best word, but just using packet, maybe we should be employing packet radio more than we do. It seems like for a while packet was all the craze, at least I remember it was out west, and now there seem to be relatively few hams using it. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe greater use of packet on 2 meters would be a better utility. The other comment quickly, I can't overstate how important it is when you're on a net, whether it's a routine net or an emergency net, to pay attention to what the net control instructions are being given and to adhere to those instructions. Very often what happens is someone does not pay attention or adhere to the instructions, and they end up getting recognized first, and the folks that politely wait their turn get put off until afterwards. So let's all be a little courteous, and we all screw up sometimes. I can recognize that, so we're not perfect, but let's try. K6PDG, back to net.
Thank you. Good comments there, Kevin. One example of the latter part of what you said is during the wellness net, we first take check-ins from Echolink, then we do RF, and not often, but occasionally some RF station will check in during the Echolink section, which we purposefully separate because Echolink has to wait for the repeater to fully drop and Echolink to drop its connection that then they can jump in and say something, so it usually takes a few seconds. But anyhow, let's move on to Steve, who also has additional comments. NK1B, KC1TW4.
NK1V, thank you. I was running a little bit late. I checked in a little bit late, and I kind of rerouted the subject for this evening, but I've gotten a lot out of this conversation, and I'm actually on the Mobile Link site. I know I've just watched some videos, and it should match up pretty good with my 7100 and be pretty good. So I'm pretty excited about the whole thing. I'll be getting involved in that, and I really appreciate everybody's input. So back to Matt, NK1V.
Okay, very good. Well, one additional piece of information about WinLink is you can download the program. It's free, but you do have to register with WinLink in order to be able to use it. You can only run one WinLink session at a time. So if you have it up on your phone and you want to bring it up in your computer, it'll balk and not let you do that. You can't log in twice, as it were. Secondly, WinLink does have the capability, besides being able to do Packet, Paktor, WinMore, RDrop, VARA, or Iridium, it can also use Telnet. So if you want to download the WinLink and register, you can actually practice with the WinLink from your regular PC over the internet without a radio, because it is a slightly different and takes a little getting used to. It's not that bad, but it's just a little bit different. Okay, any last comments before we go into the next round? Please call now.
W1RPQ.
W1RPQ, please proceed. This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is W1RPQ. Just for Kevin, WinLink on 2 meters is packet radio. As Tim just read off all the different forms, it is packet radio. You're using packet to send a WinLink message. That's all you're doing. That's the WinLink part of that. So it's not different from packet. It's the same thing. W1RPQ, back to net.
Okay, very good. Time is of the essence, so let's move into the second round, the second section. Does anyone have any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest? If so, please call now. Okay, nothing heard, so we'll move on to the third section. Is there anyone that wishes to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items? If so, please call now.
This is KC1NOL. Anybody have like a 2 meter or dual band mobile they want to sell to a new ham?
Okay, that's a good question there, Mike. Question is, how can they reach you once we get off of the net in case they happen to bump their toe on one and decide, hey, that new ham wanted it. What's the best way to reach you?
I would say by email. I get too many spam calls on my phone, and it's almost unusable as a phone at this point. So I'm going to give my email address, which is mdltradar@gmail.com. KC1NOL, back to Matt.
Okay, would you mind giving the first part of it at least phonetically? Because it wasn't sure if it was an M or an N, a B or a D, etc.
Okay, let's see if I have all of the phonetics memorized. It is Mike Delta Lima. D, what is T? I forgot what T was. Romeo, U, Utah, Delta, Echo, Verizon, at Gmail.
Okay, anybody have any questions for Mike before we go on?
Good evening.
The time is 8 p.m. on Wednesday, August 5.
Okay, anybody else have anything for the third section for the swamp cell we're looking for? Please call now. Okay, before we close the net, any final, that's for check-ins and then comments. Any final check-ins before we close the net, please call now. Any final comments or crosstalk before we close the net, please call now. Okay, that was the last call. We have no further check-ins or comments. I'm going to go ahead and close the net at this time. I'd like to thank everyone that participated, which was Jerry, Kevin, Dave, Chuck, Mike, Jeremy, Steve, John, and Bob for attending the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net. And also thank you to all that stood by and listened as we conducted the net. We would also like to thank W1AN for allowing us to use the W1DX Salem repeater. Josh, K0JEB, for the EchoLink connection, and KA6PDG for recording these sessions and putting them at am1700.org/tipsnet. That's Alpha Mike 1700 decimal Oscar Romeo Golf /tipsnet, T-I-P-S-N-E-T. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club sponsors this net and has their meeting on the second Tuesday of the month, and you'll need to check their website to see where and how they're holding it each month while we're going through this COVID-19 event. The meetings do start at 7 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club can be found at www.tricityarc.net. That's TRICITYARC.net. This net will meet again next Tuesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo, wishing everyone a good evening and 73.